This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Jeffrey Roberts, University College Cork, Emeritus Professor of History and the author of Stalin's Library, A Dictator in His Books. We meet large figures in Stalin's Library, and the first to come across, because it seems so logical, given the time between the 19th and the 20th century that Stalin rose to power, Bismarck. The challenge of dealing with Bismarck and Machiavelli, is that you don't know whether Stalin thought he was Bismarck, learned from Bismarck, you learned what not to do from Bismarck. Professor, you've looked at this very carefully now. What did Stalin think of Bismarck? Did he divide his life between early and late? Was he attracted to the Iron Chancellor? Was he attracted to the reformer? What about Bismarck?
It's very difficult to know what Stalin thought about Bismarck in detail, because the Bismarck books that Stalin read and in some cases marked, they disappeared from the archive. You know, we don't know where they are. What we can say with certainty is that Stalin was very interested in Bismarck. He was very insistent that Bismarck's memoirs should be translated into Russian. In fact, there should be a new edition of Bismarck memoirs. He was interested in other books about Bismarck and about treatments of Bismarck, and he was very keen to actually discuss Bismarck's memoirs and Bismarck's work. So we know that he had a huge kind of interest in Bismarck. And my supposition is that, he saw Bismarck as a kind of like practical, pragmatic politician, but someone who also had a project, a rather grand scale project, which, this project, as it emerged anyway, of unifying Germany into a single state and building up Germany as a great power. Some people say that Bismarck carried out a revolution from above in Prussia and in the wider German space. And you could see a parallel there with Stalin's revolution from above. At the end of the 1920s, when he introduces collectivization and the five-year plans and industrialization, when he embarks on this hugely ambitious program of modernizing, modernizing Russia. So maybe that's what Stalin saw. He saw in Bismarck, a fellow modernizer, someone who he could learn from, particularly, of course, in relation to the conduct of foreign policy, diplomacy, and international relations.
Yes, the example that I get, I think this is Roy Medvedev's analysis, but it fits. I could see why Stalin would be attracted. He divided Bismarck into three pieces. One, unification, you mentioned. Two, conflict between socialists and conservatives. That would have attracted Stalin because it's easy to assume that's Tsarism versus Bolshevism. And then three, the Iron Chancellor, 1887 to 1890. Did Stalin see him as himself? Did he read Bismarck? And this is an open question, Professor. I know there might not be an answer. Did he read Bismarck as an inspiration, as an example, or as a warning? Because Bismarck was humiliated and removed in 1890.
That's a tough question to answer, John. All Stalin's reading is about learning lessons, particularly lessons from history. So he read about about Bismarck and Bismarck himself, his memoirs, he read for the purpose of instruction, to learn what he could learn from both Bismarck's successes, but also from his failures as well. And you mentioned this division of in Bismarck's career. I mean, that comes from Stalin's marking of a particular book where he marks those particular sections that divide up.
Oh, that was Stalin's writing, not Medvedev.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stalin's marking, yeah.
Very nice, because there's that famous editorial cartoon, I'm sure we've all seen it, of Bismarck stepping off the ship of state with the Kaiser saying farewell to him as Bismarck walks down the staircase leaving. And I'm wondering if Stalin, well, in any event, we can speculate. Machiavelli, I've already told the Machiavelli story. It's so obvious that Machiavelli would attract Stalin reading The Prince. And you talk about how Stalin would come and borrow The Prince and read from it. What do we know?
That's what people say, John. Yeah, they say that he read The Prince, and he learned from Machiavelli about the conduct of realpolitik, power politics, and cynicism, and all the kind of things that you tend to associate with Machiavelli. But those are just stories. We don't actually know whether or not Stalin read any Machiavelli or Machiavelli's The Prince. There's no copy of The Prince was found in his library. Now, having said that, it is quite possible that Stalin read Machiavelli, and read Machiavelli's The Prince in particular. Stalin read a lot of philosophy, particularly classical sort of stuff. So he would have been interested in reading that particular book. So I think he probably did read. But the point I'm making in the book is that Stalin didn't need to take lessons from Machiavelli about power and about politics and about cynicism and manipulation, right? He had far better teachers. He had Lenin. He had Trotsky to teach him. So that's my argument, is that if you want to understand where from whom Stalin learned realpolitik, power politics, all that kind of thing, it wasn't from Machiavelli. It was for Lenin and Trotsky. I mean, one of the books that Stalin read was a book by, when he annotated in detail, was a book by Trotsky called Terrorism and Communism. And in that book or booklet, Trotsky defends the Bolshevik seizure of power and defends the Bolsheviks hanging on to power, including using violence to hang on to power. And Trotsky defends it because it's a defense of the revolution, it's a defense of socialism, and he sets out the arguments in favor of Bolshevik kind of authoritarian politics. And Stalin closely followed Trotsky's argument in that particular text, marked out, commented on it with approval. Stalin didn't need to read Machiavelli, to learn about cynical politics and power politics, and the politics of power. He got it from Trotsky. He also got it, of course, even more so from Lenin.
A detail in his reading of Diplomacy. This I found stark. Stalin did not favor denouncing Tsarism, the Tsars, as a slave empire. He wanted to regard the Tsars, what came before the Soviets, as just another representative of capitalism that would fade away. So it was important to him that Russia was not barbaric, it was capitalistic. Do I say that correctly, Professor?
Yeah. Absolutely. In his own kind of way. Okay, so Stalin is Georgian, but he, to a certain extent, he actually takes on a Russian kind of identity, and part of that Russian identity is a kind of form of Russian kind of patriotism. Yeah, so his attitude to the Tsars, in a way, is, they weren't any worse than any other capitalists. Why depict them and the Russians as being barbarism or being particularly bad? They were capitalists, they were imperialists, they were autocrats, but they weren't any worse. So there's that kind of like patriotic aspect to that, but it's also to do with Stalin's kind of like reformulation of his views of Russian history. And part of the reformulation of views of Russian history is the progressive role, the positive role that the Stars played in Russian history, particularly in constructing a strong Russian state, a big, strong Russian state that defended its population, not just the Russians, but all the whole population, all its different nationalities, and everything, defending that from outsiders, from outside incursion, from outside attack, from foreigners. Yeah. So Stalin comes to see the Soviet Union, the Soviet state, in some respects, it's a revolutionary break with Tsarism, it's socialism, it's a different kind of modernity, but it's also a continuation in terms of Russia as a patriotic state defending its people against outsiders.
I was reminded in this detail then how Stalin did not see nationalism as viable or continuous. He saw capitalism surrounding Russia and then socialism in one state that would eventually take the message of socialism to the world. So saying Russia, condemning Russia especially, wasn't useful to him. The idea that Russia is now transformed with socialism. We're going to turn, however, to history next, because Stalin used history, and I'll ask the professor about how he used it, but in any event, Stalin used the facts of history, the evidence of history, to come to the conclusion that the Soviet Union was the future for the rest of the world. The book is Stalin's Library, A Dictator and His Books. Professor Jeffrey Roberts of the University College Cork is the author, Emeritus Professor of History, member of the Royal Irish Academy. Next, Stalin and History. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.